All right, so a different musical intro for you this week because unlike some other podcasts, our studio's not working, so we haven't managed to sort that one out for you. But this week on Talking Talkie, the man sat to my left is the Eunan O'Kane to my Lee Mansell, Ryan Darby.
Yeah, we're going to make the best of a bad situation, and it's going to be one of those podcasts, I think.
Much like our season, everything's gone to pot with this podcast. So over the weekend, it was Geisley. No game for us to review, which means you should probably just turn off the podcast. Thanks for joining us this week. This game was postponed due to heavy rainfall on Friday night, a pitch inspection early on Saturday morning by the referee deemed the pitch unplayable, and that was that. A disappointment to have it called off, considering we were both gearing it up as a big one, weren't we?
Yeah, it was a big game. It's probably one of the last chances we've got to kind of mount any sort of
it's not going to happen
unambitious comeback. It was a shame to see it called off because probably both teams would have liked to get it out of the way and get the game done. It's actually just been confirmed this morning the new date for that game is it's end of April.
Tuesday night.
Yeah. So mark that one in your diaries for the must go and see that.
Well, it is a bit of a shame that won't be played at 3 on a Saturday, isn't it? For a game that, as I said, I've written us off already in terms of survival, but a game that could mean something to some people.
It could have been one of those afternoons at Playmore where it gets a bit lively and a bit of atmosphere, if nothing else. So yeah, it's a shame, but it's one of those, and you can't control the weather.
Well, yeah, there's an element of bad luck about it, but we haven't had a home game now since the 20th of February. So in terms of, I know it happens every season, whenever Torquay have a run of games postponed, you seem to get a story in the local papers saying, you know, there's a cash flow issue if you don't get those 1,000 people in on a Saturday. And we've had no whispers of that this week, but it's something to think about, and just the turnover of money not being available on the Saturdays must affect the coffers of the club, particularly if it gets moved to a Tuesday and the gate's down a little bit as well.
Yeah, well, what are we? So just over a month now, a month and about a week since the last home game. It's come at a strange old time because we have been quite fortunate this season in terms of postponements where we haven't actually had that many. Not until this moment in the season anyway. Yeah, the money aspect comes into it, but I don't think that's at the forefront of anyone's mind at the moment.
No, I think you're right. So we're going to kind of open up some debates in this podcast. We've been seeing some stuff going down online from different fans on the Talkie Fans Forum and some stuff on Twitter as well. There was a comment from Ryan in last week's podcast that sparked a bit of debate on the online forums. We discussed aims for next season, and Ryan hinted that it may not be as easy as some suggested in the National League South next season. This got a bit of reaction, some with Ryan, some against him. I like it when people go against him a bit because he gets a bit cocky in here. But we're happy to have that kind of engagement and to talk about things we think and things other fans think as well, which is fine. Like we did with the hours criticism, and we addressed that. So some people online saying that I'm trying to remember how you phrased it. You said something along the lines of it'll be a tough league, and I took issue with that, and other fans did as well. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit as to why you think it'll be a tough league?
Yeah, so I think that the problems we're gonna face is, and the term that's been used on the forums in quote is the big fish. Some fans were worried that we were paying too much respect to the National League South, and some were completely on the other side and saying, you're not giving enough respect. So it's a strange one. We're going to try to do our best to pick the bones of it.
Well, because as I said last week, I don't want this to become us treading over all the old ground we've done. But in my opinion, the National League South is quite a weak league in terms of quality, particularly when you compare it with the National League North, which has a couple of full-time teams. The National League South, I think I'm right in saying that should we drop down, we will be the only full-time team. I'm not 100% sure, and you can find me on Twitter and fire some shots at me after that. But comparatively, the National League South is a much smaller league than the National League, obviously. And we're going to be the big fish in there, aren't we? Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and the reason... the phrase big fish is important here. we will become the first Football League team to play in that division. Hereford got relegated from the league and then the conference, but they bypassed the National League.
Started again.
And ironically, they look like they're going to get promotion this season, so they'll also be in the National League South next season, given the way things are at the moment. So they and us become the two biggest teams in that league by some distance, I'd say. I think, given that there is going to be a lot of changes on the pitch, there may not be a change in management. We don't know yet. So it's going to be a lot of change over the summer. And one thing we've got to allow for is time to adjust to a new league, new squad. But also the fact that I think we should be aiming to win that league, playoffs at the very least.
But the thing is that does kind of fly in the face of what you said, that it's a difficult league and we may not do as well as some people think. But you still think winning the league is...
It's got to be. Some fans pointed out, with the budget we'll have, the ground, the fans, the attendances we'll get, we have to at least aim for that. The problem where I think we'll come unstuck is, like you said, we will be the big fish, and you can't deny that. So we'll be everyone's cup final. Everyone will come to play more, and it will be a far better pitch, far better ground than they've played at all season.
Mm.
And it will be the big shot. If you can come away with a point or 3 points at Playmore, it could be huge for a lot of teams.
That's exactly what I was saying. You've nicked my point on the drive in, but that's fine. When we first dropped into the conference under Buckle, we had a bit of cash. We were an ex-Football League team, and there weren't an abundance of those in the conference as it was at the time, or the Blue Square. We were the game every team was up for. If you get a few points off Torquay, you know it's good, and it's a nice trip to Playmore or whatever. But everyone wanted to take shots at Torquay. If you throw through a few punches at the big boys, that hasn't been the case in recent years. We're all aware of that. We've been an also ran in the National League. But that effect that we had under Buckle in those two seasons we were in the conference with him, I think that's going to be tenfold increased in terms of attitude in the National League South, because then you get part-timers thinking, particularly if we stay full-time, like Clark Osborne says we will, you get part-time footballers thinking, okay, we're gonna take a swing at this club. They think they're the dog's bollocks and all that, and we're gonna have a go at them. So we've got to be prepared for that, because the National League South fans will know that Torquay fans like ourselves will want to win the league, and everyone would just love to make that not the case. And you've got to create that siege mentality if you're the management, that hey, everyone here doesn't want us to do well, but we're going to do well anyway.
So when you said that pointing out for me is the mentality.
Yeah,
like you said, under Buckle there was so much change, and it was something in line with some of the guys on the forums were saying, that he brought in players fit for purpose, fit for that league, to get you out of that league. And we know what happened. If you go back sort of the last three or four years at the club, it's been a struggle. The mentality has completely changed, where we're fighting for survival, when there's not a positive mentality. Over a summer, you have to change that very quickly.
Is that just personnel?
It comes with personnel. I think it comes with the management staff. They've got to implement. Yeah, as I say, he's not implemented his style, his mark on the team. We'll leave that up for debate. But he's got to, if it's him in charge, he's got to turn the mentality of the team around and get them winning, because ultimately that's what they've got to do.
That's the thing, it can't just be better. If we're going to, it can't just be better. Let me finish that point. It's got to be a lot better if we're going to be, challenging for honours at the top of that league, because... the mentality, well, we've seen it around the club this season. Heads drop when we're a goal down, even when we're winning games towards the end. Players are edgy and nervy. If you want to be a title challenger, that has to flip 180. We've got to be the team that's strong, the team that has that mental strength to see it through to the end of the game. Because regardless of what league you're in, no matter how poor I happen to think the National League South is, that is how you win titles. You can't get away with that in any league. You've got to be strong mentally. You have to have that. You've got to have that bit of nous to see it through, I think.
And the problem is, everyone will know the position we're in. Everyone will know our aims, because it is quite unthinkable to think that we'd be playing National League South football.
Yeah.
So everyone at the club will want to get that immediate promotion. You know, all the chat we've hearing from the club is that we're only going to be in there for one season. Fine. But everyone else in that league will make it the toughest season for us.
Yeah.
I don't think there are any spectacular standout teams in the National League South.
But this it's is interesting you mentioned Hereford, because that might be the other team that would take the edge off us a little bit, in that there'll be another team who, although they've been slowly building up the league since they reformed, they will have some aspirations to one day be a football league club again. So there is another club in there that has the same kind of aspirations as us.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's going to make it interesting, I think. But it's like we said, I don't think the problem is the other teams. It's in per se, but it's the problems that we can cause ourselves by being the
team
the
that
big
everyone wants
team.
To beat. Yeah.
Everyone wants to beat us. Everyone knows that we can't really afford to have more than one season in the National League South, because you slowly start digging yourself a hole if you can't get that immediate promotion.
Mm.
So I don't necessarily think the problem is the National League South per se, but the problems that come with that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I understand that. I know you had a little look at well in advance of us actually being in the National League South, but what it takes to get promoted from that league in terms of a points tally, what did you find out from that?
Yeah, so I looked back over sort of the past 4 or 5 years. And
how good have you got to be top of the league, is the question, I guess.
I don't know how high...
No one wants that playoff, really, do they?
No, I don't know how high you'd rank it, but it doesn't seem like you need that many points. Off the top of my head, I don't know what the current standings in the National League are, but Havant and Waterloo are currently top of the National League South, and it looks like, based on their recent form, they're probably going to finish around 75 points.
Yeah.
Which, okay, it's fairly strong for a league, but
it's not
huge. There's a couple of anomalies in there, like Fylde year before last, and they finished with 88 points, but we can see how they've developed this season. They're clearly a decent outfit. But I think Bromley won it with 77 points. I think that was 2014-15.
Yeah.
And it looks sort of like 65 points for playoffs. Average, give or take.
Which is doable, do you reckon?
It is. You know, that's more than doable, I'd say.
The thing is, I was saying to you on the way in again, the league, although I've been quite disparaging about the quality of the league, and I'm sure I'll eat my hat when we're languishing near the bottom, but it's similar to the National League in that, barring a couple teams at the top and a couple teams at the bottom, everyone's quite happy to take a shot at everyone else and take points. Anyone can beat anyone, is what I'm trying to say. And it does happen that way in the National League South as well, doesn't it? Because you see it with Truro, no one really expected them to be up there this season, but they beat the league leaders in the weekend. And as I said, anyone can beat anyone, and we've got to be prepared for that.
Truro are a great example that they're just flying high on form and confidence. And
that's what it's about. You're right. I'm sorry to butt in there, but it's about creating the... Truro have created that mentality that we're going to win games even when we shouldn't. You're exactly right. And Truro, I mean, what did we beat them? 6-0 in preseason?
Yeah, difficult to judge on preseason, yeah. Because, I mean, look at the contrasting ways our seasons have gone. I can remember doing the podcast.
But genuinely, is our starting 11 better than Truro's starting 11, would you say, now?
position for position. I'd say there's probably players in Truro's squad that would fancy themselves in...
Okay. I'll come out with what I think our squad is comparable to Truro's, if not slightly better. And that's despite us having a poor season. I'll set out my stall on that. But and Truro are doing that well. But that's because of we've said it so much in this podcast already, but that mentality they've created at Truro is a promotion willing mentality. I don't know whether they'll get there or not. They might make the playoffs and leapfrog us, which would be unthinkable. But like, they've created that mindset as a group, as a team, which we haven't had all season, really. And that's part of our problem, as we know.
I don't want to be disrespectful to Truro, but I think if they go on and achieve promotion, which would be spectacular for them,
yeah,
that would be amazing. If they don't, they'll probably look back on it. Okay, we had a good season. We nearly got there. But that's kind of their ceiling almost. So yeah, it's a little bit disrespectful
I know,
would be happy for that.
I know Pete Masters has said in the past that it will be financially a struggle to go up with the gates they get. But I think he'd be looking to improve those gates if they went up, obviously. I'm still struggling to understand. So it's a hard league, but you think we could top it next season? It all depends on how the summer goes, doesn't it, in terms of management and recruitment?
Yeah, I think you can set yourself up to have a strong season in the summer, and then it all comes down to how you approach it. We could have the ability to win that league, and that's the aim I think it should be,
yeah.
Definitely for a club of this stature. Hereford coming up are kind of an unknown quantity, so you don't know what you're going to get from them. Eventually, they will have aspirations to go up, but whether they do that in their first season back at that level.
Yeah.
The problem comes, and the difficulty comes, is that every game will be a struggle, especially for, to begin with, where the novelty of being that first football league club at that level, kind of, it's going to be what's in the news, it's going to be what's in the papers. And that will eventually wear off when the season kicks in and the reality of where we're at sets in. But to begin with, it is going to be a struggle because, like we said, it's going to be Teams Cup finals for them. It's going to be players that are part-time and play in front of 300 or 400 every week. There's potential for these players to come to this Football League quality stadium playing in 3 times that attendance.
Yeah, moving on just a little bit, we had a message from Sam Drewiff in the week. He wanted us to talk about who would stay and go, but we've covered that a little bit in the podcast, so we'll come on to that in another week. But what came up in a conversation with him was the argument of an experienced manager with contacts, like we've got in Gary Owers, versus appointing a young up-and-comer, and the example he used was Steve Tully. What do you think the... Because Tully's obviously managed at the National League South before and he was linked with the job when Nico was let go, although we have no idea how seriously he was linked with the job. Sam made the point that the contacts argument that is made for Owers is maybe a little bit redundant when you've already worked in football for 20 years as a player. You will have your own contacts. Is there any kind of truth to that thought, do you think? Or...
I think
that's the debate he was trying to level, the experienced manager, old head in Gary Owers versus maybe appointing someone younger, has a few more, is maybe more of a coach.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting debate. The idea for me of a younger manager is always a risk. Purely because...
Well, we've done it before, haven't we? Hargreaves, Nicholson,
yeah, exactly.
We've taken the risks and it doesn't work.
I think there are a lot of up-and-coming young managers. I think that's kind of the era of football we're coming into, where it's almost fashionable to be a manager. Where,
well, there's always young up-and-coming managers.
Where it wasn't so much in the past. And I think what we're seeing more in the examples, like you said, like Hargreaves and Nicholson, they're probably more coaches, good man managers, good on the training pitch. They know how to bring the best out of a player, but tactically maybe not so... developed. I don't know if
okay,
that's the right
no,
word.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point, though.
I'm not for 1 minute saying Gary Owers is a tactical magician, because I think a lot of fans would disagree. But there's an argument to be had that says, you know, are they ready for that position? I don't know. I think part of me would say when you drop down a league, maybe look for a bit more experience at the minute. Just, I don't know, maybe to steady the ship. You go in there.
You mean the fact that Owers has managed at that level before?
I don't know if you go with Owers or someone else, just someone with a bit of know-how. Or you could take another route and go with someone like Steve Tully and look for him to almost inspire the team to promotion.
Yeah, he'd be brought in as a galvaniser, wouldn't he? But the debate that Sam level was experience versus youth. I think if we're going experience, the club set out their stall anyway. They're going to stick with Owers, I'm fairly sure. well, in the hope that his contacts will come good over the summer and he can assemble that squad that can have that mentality, that can win the league, that can go to the difficult places and take 3 points even when maybe you shouldn't. So that's the bet they're placing, I think. It would be another gamble if you went with someone like Tully, and I just think Clark Osborne probably doesn't have the stomach for that gamble again, and doesn't want to open himself up to even more criticism than what he's got already.
I think it depends also on what sort of squad we're looking at this time next season.
Well, ultimately, if Clark Osborne says he wants to be in this league for one season, we have got to have the budget to do it.
And with that in mind, I don't think you're looking at sort of 18, 19-year-olds on loan every week. If we did have a younger squad to what we already have, and you're seeing these young academy players come in on loan, then I think there are arguments to say put a Steve Tully in charge and galvanise these young players in the sort of similar way that Nico did.
It just feels risky, though, doesn't it, having all those people learning their trade?
I don't think we'll go that way. I think we will see more of your Elliot Romains come into the side next year, and that's where I think Gary Owls comes in to the argument, or at least an experienced manager.
Yeah.
I think it would probably be a little bit easier to sort of galvanise an older and experienced squad and get them to play for him in that league anyway, I think.
Well, you made the point earlier about when we were first in the conference with Buckle, he brought in players that knew the league and could get us out of it. The likes of Guy Branston, I'm not sure he was with us in the National League, but the campaigners we'll talk Chris Hargreaves. He didn't just get good technically good players, but he also got some scrappers that people would pick you up by the scruff of your neck and you know, make you win the game. You've got to have an element of that in the National League as well, and pick up, maybe some fans may not like it, but some players who have just played in the National League maybe for most of their career, National League South, I mean, even played at that level for most of their career, just pick up a couple of scrappers so that they let everyone around them know, look, we're in for a fight here and we're going to be up for this fight.
And it's important to note that I'm fully aware that fans will feel this way, that Gary Owls is not a fashionable appointment. And I think Gary will say that himself.
Probably, yes.
But given the state we're in, given the fact we're dropping into the National League South, it doesn't need to be fashionable. No. If anything, it needs to be unfashionable, like you just said. Get your scrappers in, get your hard workers in, add a bit of quality throughout the squad.
Bits of technical players out wide and up front. Yeah.
Sooner rather than later, you're building yourself a squad that is capable of going on and winning promotion straight away.
Which we haven't got yet. Next up, we're going to preview the trip to Chester on Friday. It's on Friday. It's part of the Easter fixtures. We're going to preview the game. So, Ryan, I've said this every week probably the last 6 months now. It's a must-win one, isn't it?
It is. Two teams just stuck there at the bottom, waiting for their fate to be sealed. I think level on points with Chester now, nine points adrift. I think that is the current gap. It's going to be, we are saying it every week, but it's going to be one of those games. Neither team can afford to lose, because that's all but relegation confirmed. But both teams have got to win, simple as that. Chester are really struggling at the moment, and it's going to be a tough afternoon. We've got to go there and win. They've got to win.
You almost feel like we could pick up our preview from last week and drop it into this week, don't you? Because I think I said the exact same thing pre-Guiseley, that if it was me, I'd be tempted to let everyone off their leads and just go at it. And if we lose 4-3, we lose 4-3. At least we've had a bash. Give everyone that freedom to... We haven't scored goals all season, so give them the freedom to say, look, you think you can score goals outside the tactical plan, go and do it. Go and run at more people than you think you should. Go drift out of position. That's fine if we score goals. As I said, I would just, if it was me, I'd roll the dice and 4-3-3 maybe, something like that, just to push men forward and you say to the front three, you know, play where you want up there. Just stick the ball in the back of the net. Maybe a bit more rigid in your back four, but much like the Guiseley game, as I said, it just give the players the freedom to... You say, look, there's no pressure on us. No one expects us to get out of this relegation dogfight. Go and express yourselves and see what we come off the pitch with.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll...
I don't think ours is the type of manager who would do that, though.
No, especially not away from home.
No.
But, you know, time is running out. And like you said, we could literally just cut and paste our preview from last week. It does feel that way. I think there will probably be a few more attacking options in the side this week. I think probably Reece Healy will come in for a start.
I can say that's the question. Healy for who, then? If he sticks with these two up front as he does with the wing-backs, what do you think a change of system is in the cards? And he would get... Because a front three of Romain, Williams and Healy looks like a bloody good front three, in my opinion, for the National League.
It is. That's the mind-boggling
Williams through
thing.
The middle, Romain out right, Healy out left.
I think you're either looking at a change of system to get free in the team, or I think it'll be Brett Williams that drops to the bench. I think he's taken a fancy to Romain. It's easy to see why. He's clearly getting a bit more out of him through work rate and a couple of goals here and there.
If you pair Healy and Romain, maybe you don't have that target as much as you do with Williams. So that's something he would sacrifice, you think?
Yeah, you don't. But you have the fresh legs of young Reece Healy. I don't know how he's going to fit them all in the team, I'll be completely honest. I think I'd probably go with your first suggestion, go more inclined to a 4-3-3 variation of some sorts, just to put the bodies up there.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
Well, that's what, because we haven't scored. That's why I'd be tempted to keep Williams in the team. When we do slam a ball forward, we've got someone who could get on the end of it, and Healy and Romain just buzzing around either side of him, trying to make a nuisance of themselves, those kind of strikers. One drops off him, one runs beyond him, and try and find goals that way. As you said, there's almost an element of more bodies forward equals more goals.
Yeah, I think also that another thing I've been thinking about from the players' point of view is that even if it's not at this club, they're playing for future contracts elsewhere. And I'd kind of expect to see a little bit more from them at this stage of the season.
Mm. Particularly if they... That's how I should frame it, really. Well, we don't know if he is in the dressing room. If he just says, like...
We're going down,
yeah.
But show some quality.
If you want to be a National League player next season, you know, play a few good games for us and you might get scouted.
And you can't help but think that's got to be in the forefront of some players' minds, at least, because, let's be honest, we all know there are some players that aren't going to be here next season through... ability, through wages and whatnot, that I just you'd want to see a bit more, I think, and it's too late now to call for it, but it's one of those games where we should be winning, and that little bit of quality could be the difference.
Okay, so pretty much prediction time is the derby. Which way are you going with this one?
I see
match postponed.
Yeah, we should add that in.
No, yeah.
I can't see it any being more than a draw, to be honest. I just
think
a game bereft of any sort of quality, it's like two horses just waiting to be put down.
That's horrible. Oh, welcome to Talking Talkie.
I think it's going to be a tough afternoon. Credit to any fans that make their way up there. You shouldn't save your money.
You shouldn't save your money, okay. I mean,
I think I'll go with a score draw.
A score draw. Tell you what, I'll go with a Torquay United win. I feel like it's about time we had a, you know, that little chink of hope. Not that it's going to happen, but it's nice for them to always slightly reignite that bit of hope before extinguishing it fully. So I'm going with a Torquay 3-1.
3-1.
Three goals.
Christ.
Talking Talkie. You don't get that from anyone else. That's us done for another week here. We've tried to make the best of a bad week with another postponement. Hoping to get a couple interviews lined up for the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that. Be sure to join us next week when hopefully we'll have 3 points to chat about. Until then, it's goodbye from Ryan.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.